B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning.
On the line with us right now, we got a lot of questions about the NBA. A guy we've been a fan of for a long time here because he's a local guy done well. Overbrook High School, Drexel University, Malik Rose.
Two-time NBA champion.
That's a dad.
You know.
But what matters more, that or that he's from Philly? All right, Malik Rose is on the line with us right now. Malik, a heck of a time to get a new gig with the NBA. How you doing?
Man, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, we're hanging in there, Malik Rose. And tell us about this new gig now in the league office here. You're the new VP of basketball operations.
Yeah, I think that's just a long-winded title for me just to be able to watch basketball games for free now. it's a good spot, man. I've been lucky enough, and Bobby, you know, we go back a long time, and you know, I've been lucky enough to be around the game for a long time, man. And it's just been a part of my life ever since like high school. And you know, for whatever reason, God just keeps seeing fit to bless me with opportunities, and this opportunity at the league is something I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is pretty wild. Yeah,
and I to put Malik down on, you know, like, you've earned this, Malik, and you know, he's one guy that early on when he started with the Sixers, he and I obviously traveled together when Malik was doing work with Mark Zumoff. We traveled together, and just talking to Malik, it's so much fun because you just absorb the knowledge that you've gained throughout your time in the NBA. And I got to tell you guys, going to San Antonio, you think Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, you think those guys are revered? Walk in San Antonio with Malik Rose for a minute. That's the guy who's really revered down there. The love that they show him is amazing. But Malik, just more on this role that you have. I mean, what are you going to be doing? How's it going to be different? And, you know, I know you can't give us all the ins and outs, but like, what part of the NBA are you overseeing?
So I'm working with some great people at the NBA, and you know, led by Adam Silver, Commissioner Silver. He's making a concerted effort to the relationship with the players is great, and he's trying to make the relationship or improve the relationship between the teams and the NBA, among other things. So one of my primary responsibilities, since I'm coming from the team side and I have a lot of relationships with the GMs and assistant GMs and all the decision makers for every team, is to liaise with the and other NBA teams. Both David Booth and myself will be doing that. But also the role, our immediate boss, our direct report, Mr. Byron Sproul, he's the president. He's carved out like a really, really cool, you know, role. Like, you know, we get to be like basketball advisors with all the other departments. It's like basketball analytics and strategy and refereeing, NBA Global. It's like all the tenants that make up the NBA league office and league operations, we get to have a voice and, you know, advise on those departments as well. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Now, are you going to be in Orlando, or are you in the bubble with everyone?
Not yet, but yes, I will be. I'm going to be on the Seinfeld episode, Bubble Boy or whatever. I've been dying to say that. But anyway, yeah, I'm going down to Orlando, and I'm just excited, man. You know, the game is back, and, you know, I feel very confident about the situation that the NBA has put on down there. It's like it's really, really well thought out. The NBA has tremendously intelligent people. They're putting together this bubble, and I really think it's going to be great, and we're going to be able to, you know, finish strong and crown a champion.
One of the things that you mentioned was Adam Silver. One of the first names you mentioned was Adam Silver and the great job he's doing. When we talk to reporters, national reporters, local reporters, the people that talk to the players talk about how much trust they have for Adam Silver to keep them safe throughout all of this. Do you get a sense of that in the league office?
Absolutely. I got a sense of it, you know, when I was working on the team side, and he personally called me to congratulate me when I won Exec of the Year in the G League. So I think, you know, Commissioner Stern, rest his soul, he was great in his own right. I mean, he did some great things to put the league in an amazing place and set, you know, Commissioner Silver and the rest of us up for success. But I really do think Commissioner Silver, you know, he'll never, you know, probably take this, you know, praise or whatever, but he earned this. He earned the reputation he has, and he's worked hard for it. I mean, you remember back to when he first started. I mean, we were working for the Sixers, and the whole Donald Stern, or Donald Sterling situation.
Yep.
And he had to come in, and, you know, the players were, you know, in a fervor there. And he came in, handled that situation from day one, and it's been nothing but great things ever since then. And he's really, really a genuine person from what I can see. You know, like, I've only been at the NBA office a couple weeks now, but like I said, even before I got to the league office, Commissioner Silver was just doing great things and being a genuine person. And I really do think that's why he has the amount of trust he has from everybody.
Speaking with Malik Rose, the new vice president of basketball operations in the NBA, as much as that trust has been from the players to Adam Silver, the trust really doesn't seem to be talked about much from players to players. That's where the trust might run thin a little bit. So what do you think players need to do inside this bubble, other than the obvious, obey the rules, to try to trust one another?
I don't think I would call it like, you know, the players don't trust one another. I mean, that brotherhood in the NBA and in all sports, that, you know, when you lace them up and you go out on the field or the ice or the arena or whatever, there is that brotherhood, and it comes with an innate trust. But I think what you're talking about is, like, you know, guys have different opinions on things, and that's healthy. I think that's good. Some guys feel, you know, more confident than others about the bubble. Some guys feel more excited about getting back to basketball than others, and that's always going to be around, and that's always going to be the case. But as far as, you know, the safety of the bubble, the safety of the situation we're going through, I feel very confident in it myself. And I really look forward, you know, I've been learning about some of the things that we're going to be doing in Orlando. And, you know, without going into it, I'm just super, super excited. And I can't wait until everyone in the, you know, the basketball world, you know, or just the world in general, sees what the NBA has in store for NBA and the players, because this has definitely been a collaborative effort. But once the world gets to see what we've been planning down in Orlando for the restart, I think everybody's going to be excited.
Malik, do you see the NBA being, in the future, affected by what happened this season, either in a good way or in a bad way?
I think the entire planet really is going to be
affected
by, affected by COVID, and, you know, things are going to change. You know, some things will change more, some things won't change as much in a post-COVID world. But like I said earlier in the call, you know, the NBA has some really, really intelligent people, and what I really enjoy the most, or what I've really been pleasantly surprised by the most, is the people in the league that I've met. They have a genuine love for the game. It's very similar to the love that, you know, players have for the game. It's like, you know, a lot of players say they'll play this game for nothing, and I do believe that. But meeting a lot of people on the NBA side this last couple of weeks, I feel like a lot of people have the same love for the game, and that's what excites me to, you know, get on these Zoom calls every day. I can't say going to the office, but get on these Zoom calls every day.
Malik, you had a long and successful career as a player in the league. And you got into the G League and won Executive of the Year. You've you know, made the advancements that you have going to a couple different teams and now in the front office. What have you learned differently about being in the league as an executive as opposed to being in the league as a player that maybe surprised you a little bit?
I think, you know, Bobby, I think we might have talked about this at one point before, but okay, when you're a player, it's always been, you know, like just basketball. All you want to do is show up and play and then go live your life, do whatever you want to do, right? But then when I came from the player to the team side, I was amazed at the amount of work that went into just one move. You know, like, you know, something as simple as signing a 10-day contract. There were a lot of people involved, a lot of checks and balances, and a lot of things went into signing, so not even like a multi-million dollar deal, just a 10-day contract. So far, my, you know, first couple of weeks with the league, it's kind of been the same eye-opening experience, man. I mean, we're talking about putting on a bubble in a, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, and the amount of work that these guys are doing is amazing. I mean, it's really amazing, but the thing that really blows my mind is how seamlessly and efficiently, like all those departments I named earlier, you know, like the referees, analytics, strategy, gameplay, NBA Global, social responsibility, especially right now. So those are all different departments. And watching those guys work together under the leadership of guys like, you know, my boss, Byron Sproul, Mark Tatum, and Adam Silver, it's been amazing because, you know, we've had a lot of departments on the team side where I'm coming from. And I think if we work as efficiently as some people in the league, we might have had a couple of championships in the last couple of years.
Speaking with Malik Rose, Malik, the other part is I know that you're very confident. You sound very confident. And I'm sure a lot of the people that you work with are very confident about being able to pull this off. What does it mean to you to hear a guy like Dr. Anthony Fauci say, I think the NBA has done a good job here?
It's great. I mean, this is the one of the foremost, if not the most foremost expert on the whole global pandemic. Why do I keep tripping over that word? The infectious disease guru of the nation. And when he, I think he's been involved. I know the powers that be at the NBA have talked to him and consulted with a lot of different infectious disease and medical professionals. And the plan that we're putting forth in Orlando, I'm very confident it's the best plan possible. And I do think other leagues will probably, try to follow suit and, take notes on a few of the things the NBA is doing.
Now, I know some things are being reported about Chicago. I don't know what you can say about it. Does it look like there will be a bubble 2.0 in Chicago?
There are a lot of things that are on the table right now. And that, like I said, there are so many moving parts to this. And one thing the NBA is very, very passionate about is everybody, everybody having a competitive advantage, or no one having more of a competitive advantage than everyone else. Everybody getting a fair shot to run their programs, develop their players, and, chase the championship, that elusive championship. So we at the NBA, we're talking about a lot of different things. A lot of different venues have come up. Chicago is one of them, but there are other things that, are on the table, and nothing's been decided yet. But a lot of smart people are working very, very hard to put the NBA in the best position possible.
I'm sure. As part of that, can you confirm or deny whether or not there'll actually be a snitch line in Orlando for them players breaking? There's just a little snitch line where players rat out each other. No big deal.
I don't know if it's called the snitch line.
It's the information line.
Let's just say everything is in place. The NBA has put a lot of things in place. Seriously. Everything has been put in place to keep players safe. Keep players, their employees, all the Disney employees. You want to make the safest bubble and the safest possible.
Right.
And, we don't have anything called a snitch line or whatever, but there's a lot of effort and energy going into keeping everybody safe. And that's what makes me so confident about leaving my family, going down there, and doing my job.
I'm sorry. I believe the full terminology is the snitches get stitches line. I shortened it. I just shortened it for a second. Yeah.
Man, you guys been watching too much of The Wire.
Hey, Leek, what kind of basketball do you think we're going to see down there in Orlando? It's a totally different situation, something that players, even yourself that were in the league for a long time, can't be used to. But what kind of effect do you think it'll have on the actual games?
Man, I think that's a great question. I honestly can't say because, I'm not the guy that's been training and working out. But one thing I can say is we have the best athletes in the world. These guys are, you see them on a night in, night out basis. Under normal circumstances, they do some great things on the court. I'm willing to bet just on the caliber of athlete, the caliber of people and the caliber of professionals that they are, we're going to be okay. I think we're going to see a great, great level of basketball from the players. But the league is also doing some great things as far as, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to have fans in the stands just with the whole, COVID thing. But there are some guys that came up with ideas for different camera angles and different types of in-arena experiences for the viewers. And I really think the viewers are going to think they're really cool, get a kick out of them because they are innovative and fresh. So it'll definitely make this tough situation we're in more enjoyable to the viewers.
Two quick ones for you, Malik. You've had like a pretty awesome basketball career. I mean, the championships, obviously, but also getting a chance to play in four major U.S. cities, being in the front office, being a commentator. I think you also was, besides the Sixers, it was also the Knicks, right?
Yeah, I first started with the Knicks. Mike Green, my good friend of mine, like when I was playing with the Knicks or when I was sitting the bench with the Knicks, however you want to look at it. he helped me make a demo reel. He got me introduced to television, and it was that demo reel that I made with Mike Green that got me my first job working with MSG Network.
So, obviously, a player, you've been a GM, you've been an analyst as well, now in the league office. Did you always want to be full career basketball? Like, you went to Drexel, so I assume at one point you wanted to be an engineer. I don't know. was it always full career basketball?
Yeah. It's like once the Sixers won it in 83, man, I knew I wanted to be around the game of basketball for my entire life. And once I got, further along in basketball, I learned different ways I could stay around the game. And I would say by the time I was a player in the NBA, I knew that even when I retired, I wanted to stay around the game in some capacity. So I started working towards that. And, one thing led to another. And, here I am today.
Wow. And then, Malik, probably the most intense question we'll ask you. When it comes to chicken wings, are you ranch or blue cheese?
God, I am blue cheese, man. No, I can't stand ranch dressing.
Oh,
there you go.
My man.
All right. Right answer.
Hey, Malik, we hope to talk to you again, man. This was so much fun. Hey, good luck in Orlando, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys enjoy the weekend.
Malik, right. We'll see you soon, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right.
Appreciate it. That's great, man. I mean, talking about local guy done good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and when Malik was here announcing, mm-hmm. He and I had many, 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 many conversations. He knew he wanted to be in the league.
Wow.
Not that he was shunning his announcing at all. He was great at it and all, but he wanted to. And he and I would talk about it, and there was a certain executive here who he just couldn't get to talk to him about it, and he didn't understand why. Like, Malik had to jump through some hoops to finally get to where he wanted to do, and he did. And all it takes is, you talk about opening the doors to people and just saying, wow, that's what you have to do. Not that Malik didn't bust down a door because he deserved it, but you talk to Malik like we just did for 5 minutes, you see the impressiveness of him.
Oh, he's great.
I'm not kidding about that story in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like, I was walking with him and a fan pulled me aside, like, you know Malik? I said, yeah. Oh, man, he is the best, Malik. And people were going nuts. David Robinson couldn't get to him quick enough. Timmy Duncan, they're sprinting to him to hug him. And, oh, man, Malik's the best. He is such a good dude. And the NBA made a great, great hire by getting him.
I remember Zoo talking about it on the broadcasts. When they'd go down to San Antonio.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
He would say, like, the mayor of San Antonio, Malik Rose.
Yeah.
That's the way people... Yeah, I remember people talking about
it. Like him talking to David Robinson on a court and a group of fans yelling Malik's name. And I'm like, maybe Robinson's here all the time? And then Tony Parker told me, he's like, no, he's not here an awful lot.
Right.
That's how much Malik's loved.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.